morning and welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. You may be seated. And I know that both of you are familiar with our rules. The podium goes up and down if you want to adjust it. And when you start your arguments, please state your name for the record. It's being recorded. You'll be able to listen to yourselves later if you want. And the first case is A19-0025, Minnesota versus Kalkbrenner.
Kalkbrenner, correct.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Mr. Lambert. As the court knows, we put in a very short letter brief on this matter. It's not a real complicated factual issue. The gravamen of this case is the fact that we don't believe that it was reasonable, it's basically the term, for the officer to make this stop in light of the undisputed facts and the facts on the record that it's impossible for taillights to be on if headlights are on. I won't go through all the undisputed facts because I think the court has them, but I would like to differentiate the Berry case, which was cited by the-
about this.
Pardon me?
What if the bulb burnt out? The headlight would still work, wouldn't it?
I'm sorry, I can't hear.
The taillight bulb burnt out, the headlight would still work.
Correct, but he indicated there was no taillights at all, and we had a professional look at it 2 days later.
Both sides?
Yeah, both sides. Both sides were working properly. So neither one of them are out. And I just, in regard to the Berry case, which I cited, but also was cited by the district court judge, I think there's two big differences in the Berry case. In the Berry case, they said that they looked at the video and they listened to the credibility of the officer, and they determined that the officer testified that there could have been some illumination stuff that made the taillight or the headlights look like they were on when they weren't. And so the court in that case said the video was inconclusive. And based upon that and the fact that they talked to the driver and they said, did you know your headlights out? And he said, yeah, I knew it was out. In this particular case, we have conclusive evidence that if the headlights are on, and the officer didn't waver in that at all, I saw the headlights, there were no taillights, it's an impossibility. And when they spoke to Mr. Kalkbrenner, he didn't say, oh, I knew the taillights were out. He simply said, I was unaware of that. Of course, he would be unaware because he can't see the taillights when he's driving the car.
What time of the day was this?
This was probably about, I'd say, 10 o'clock, 10:30. It was very dark. Pardon me?
In February.
Yeah,
so
in February.
No
so, it's,
sun.
So it's real dark. So, you know, without belaboring it, all I'm really saying to the court is, under the stipulated facts of this case, I don't think it's reasonable make this a legal stop because his decision was based on something that could not have happened. And we have two experts that put that in his testimony. If those headlights are on, and there's no equivocation, he said that, those taillights have to be on. And there's just no other way to deal with it. So that's really all I have.
Well, I have a few questions
okay.
for you. First of all, you know, anytime you're talking about an officer seeing this or seeing that, isn't it a credibility determination? Because you're basically saying the officer's lying.
No, I'm
and we have a we have a district court judge who said, I believe the officer.
Well, I guess I would say two things. Number one, we didn't have any testimony to actually determine credibility, and I think that's because the officer's not equivocating. He's saying he saw him. I'm not saying he's lying. He may have saw a different car. There could be all kinds of things.
But I think the judge said, I don't have to decide whether they were working or not working. What I have to decide is if this is a reasonable mistake.
And
I think this officer made at least he made a reasonable mistake. He had a reasonable basis from what he thought he observed to stop this car. And that's all I have to do, if I had to paraphrase what the judge
did.
Yeah,
no, I agree. And I guess I would disagree.
Is that a correct paraphrasing?
I think it's a fair paraphrasing, but I disagree with that because I don't think that that's all the judge has to do. She has to decide under the facts of this case and the stipulated facts, is it reasonable that someone can simply say, I didn't see taillights, so I'm going to pull them over? There's all kinds of things that could have happened, but we know that the taillights had to be on.
All right.
And I don't think that's reasonable.
Well, let me ask you another question because, you know, I read the stipulated facts order of the judge with the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and verdict from the stipulated facts trial. And if you look at finding of fact number two, it specifically says Officer Sherrod, or Sherrod, I guess his name. Is it Sherrod or Sherrod? I don't know. Observed the headlights of the Honda Civic were on, but the taillights were not on.
Could you try, point me to which one?
Yeah, it's on page three of the order, and it's finding of fact number two. So that was based on the stipulated facts that the court found, this fact. Isn't right. that fact binding here? I mean.
Well, that is a fact that the officer testified to, and what I'm saying is based upon the testimony of the experts, it's unreasonable.
But part of it is that there wasn't testimony because it was submitted on paper, as I understand it.
Correct.
There are the reports.
Correct.
So your experts or the automotive person's evidence came in through written.
With no rebuttal. There could have been rebuttal on the other side if, in fact, it wasn't true, and there wasn't any.
And Sherrod's testimony also came in through a written report.
Correct. I guess in retrospect, what I'm kind of hearing is that when everything's undisputed and it's put on paper, that you should have had a hearing, and I guess I don't know why you should be penalized for that. Mm-hmm. But that's just my comment. Mm-hmm. But that's, I understand what you're saying. I understand that Sherrod's saying that. What I'm saying is this gives anybody the opportunity, if you have testimony that we have here, not if you just say, geez, I think he saw a different car, I think this or that. If you have somebody that says, it could not happen, that's where I think that there's the difference in this case. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It please the court, Mr. Johnson. Jeff Lambert, city attorney for Wayzata on behalf of the state this morning. I'm listening to the discussion. I think that the one of the positions of the respondent is that it was impossible for this to happen. But I look at some of the other cases that this court and the Supreme Court has decided. State v. Sanders, they said that there was a mistaken identity, but that was a reasonable stop. Clearly, in that case, it was impossible for that person to be the person the officer thought it was, but it was reasonable. Same with the case in which the court allowed a stop for a suspended license when, in fact, the person did not have a suspended license. Again, an impossible fact, but officer made a reasonable mistake. And here, I think that clearly, if the taillights were not on, this wouldn't be an issue. The stop was valid, and under all law, that would be a proper stop. So the question is, does the testimony of the automotive people making this impossible state that the officer's observation couldn't be reasonable? Our argument is that it was a reasonable mistake if he made that, and that the stop should be upheld. I also would quote the case of State v. Dusserhoff in 311 Northwest 2nd 866, which the court concluded after finding that they could stop somebody by a mistaken identity. The court said at the very end of the case, mind that we are not dealing with an arrest or a search, only a stop. We conclude that the officer's actions did not violate the Fourth Amendment. I feel that's the case in this situation and that the stop should be upheld. Any questions?
Thank you. Any rebuttal, Mr. Johnson?
I think we all know the issue.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations. They're the first Twin Cities attorneys who haven't taken up all their time.
Glad we could do that.
I took up all my time finding a parking spot.
You've been outside, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're on our way.
It was a little nice today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good right. to see
Thank
you over
you.
Here.
Bye-bye.
I see one attorney for the next case.
The other one's in the room. Do you want me to get him?
Please.
Okay.